things that came out, and there were areas where, as this portfolio committee, we pleaded with the Department of Basic Education to go and make sure that they are being addressed. We've got a number of them, although they're not that much, but we do have those areas, like the issues of reliable information, those are the findings from the agent's office, the issues of payments to the service providers, the data, So we do have those findings that are there, and we accepted that the department go back and make sure that such things are being addressed. And today, we are here to get a report, a progress report on how far the department has gone with those findings, and what are the things that they have put in place to make sure that the agency report for this financial year, some of the things that were identified in the previous year have been addressed, and we see the progress as we move on. So that is why I say it's quite an important meeting again that we're having. Then after that, we are going to have the action plan address on the management process, performance assessment bank to them at 2. Again, looking at all those colors that are very interesting, looking at the presentation that we are going to receive today, and see how far our department is when it comes to performance, administration, and the monitoring that is being done on them. So I don't think it should be a long presentation as we usually do, but short as made as these two presentations might be, they are very important and we do need our divided attention. Ms. Grant, before we even proceed, are there any apologies for today's meeting?
Thank you, Chair. Yes, we have received one apology from Honorable Makoto, who will be joining us a bit later since she's gone away to the meeting. Nothing more except for those of the acting DG and the minister for their absence at this meeting. I wish you have further apologies that I haven't noticed. Thanks.
Any other apologies? Yes,
thank you, Madam Chair. Morning, everybody. Honourable Admiral, is here in bed with you. Thank you very much.
Thank you so much. Today, I think it will be important that we start by the introductions. Now and again, so that we know each other from the side of the department and the agency's office. I'll start by introducing myself, then allow honorable members to do so. Then I'll hand over to Mr. Schumann, who is leading the delegation from the Department of Basic Education, to do so, and then let the agency's office introduce themselves when we begin our committee. I'm normally the beginner, the chairman of this committee. Can I hand over to you? Can I hand over to you, honorable member?
Not very much again, member of this portfolio committee. Thank you.
Vice Voice Rapper, a member of the portfolio committee. Thank you.
Sonia Grosso, member of the portfolio committee.
Because I'm a line committee member.
I'm a member of the committee. I'm a member of this committee. Thank you.
My name is Ulava Jais, member of the committee.
Good morning. My name is Chumash Koz, a member of the committee.
Good morning, members. My name is Shengen Baloyi. I'm a senior teacher, education and recreation.
Good morning. Good morning.
Morning, what's the daddy from the Woodshed Zara?
Shimadri GD. I'm from the Department of Basic Education. It's just getting there. For us, it's never enough to say GD. We have got units, we have got such, so that we understand exactly who our dealing with. Department GD is quite broad for us.
Internal audit.
Salam. Strategic planning and reporting.
Honorable members, good morning. Nivekas Maruleka, finance under the DFO's office, DDG.
Good morning, Chair, honorable members. Honorable Schumann, DDG for administration, DB.
I'm David Eisenhower, a member of this committee.
Thank you so much for the introduction. Mr. Schumann, on the introduction that I've made to them, and over to you to bring us on the progress on what you have done to address the aging findings for 2040 emissions.
Honorable Chair, thank you very much. Yes, we've got a presentation that Mr. Nebakas Maleke will go through. He's the director in the finance section in DVD, and he will do the presentation.
Thank you, DDG. Honorable members, I'm going to deal with the regularity audit findings, and Stella will deal with the performance as well as the impact. Now, one of the findings which was raised in the 2013-14 financial year was the restatement errors of corresponding figures. Now, the area of emphasis, we have indicated there that was the accrual of overtime and things from examiners and moderators. However, this finding was not material one. The material one was regarding the irregular expenditure, which will be addressed in one of the items. So the irregular expenditure from one of the implementing agencies, which was discovered in the 13-14 and we have to adjust from 12-13. Now, the progress that we have made in terms of the HR, now examiners and moderators are external educators who are assisting in setting of question papers and claiming thereafter. Now, the challenge was that the claims were submitted late by the claimants, the educators in this case. Now, what the department has done, we have developed a circular where that circular has been circulated to the chief director as well as the director involved with the examiners and moderators. Now, in that circular, we indicated that all the claims need to be submitted on time to avoid accruals, as well as anything that has been delayed, submitted late, there must be an explanation today. Because we presume after the examiners have done their services, they need to claim immediately so that we avoid this thing. Now, this sector has also been circulated to the examiners as well as the moderators involved, where they have been appointed. We attach the circular and indicate when should they submit and until which time should we accept those claims. So here basically it was the accruals of examiners who are submitting their claims late, but this finding was not the one that was material. The material one was the irregular expenditure from one of the IAs. Now, the underspending of the budget, here there was a material underspending of the budget. And the area of emphasis we say is the underspending on infrastructure. Now, for the 2014, the underspending on this infrastructure, it was 560 million. Now, the percentage spent, it was 71% in the 2014. Now, what is the progress that the department has made? We managed to say all the IAs that are receiving advances, they must submit the invoices when they have spent 70% of their advances. Now we give them the advance to pay the contractors on ground and they submit the invoices to the department to make the payments. Although those invoices were delayed, therefore we are saying, we said now the measure that we put is that you need to pay, to submit the invoices of 70% on the advance that we have given you. Now, also, one of the requirements that we have strengthened is that they must submit their reconciliation of their expenditure vis-à-vis the bank account. Now, on monthly basis, we require that we give us the statement of the bank account which indicates how much is remaining in their account from the advance that we have given them. And in that case, we are able to track if not all the invoices have been submitted, and therefore a follow-up has been done. Now, again, we we want the certified copies of their bank statement, which must accompany their monthly reconciliation. So on monthly basis, they submit the reconciliation, which shows how much the invoice was paid, and it must balance with the bank statement, the certified bank statement, and how much are the accruals, the invoice that they didn't pay by the end of the month. Now, one can report that today, as of the end of February, the expenditure on infrastructure was 2.1 billion on the allocation of 2.5. Now, it means these members have assisted us. Currently, we have the invoices amounting to 60 million that are in the system to be processed. Now, one can safely say 2.2 billion from the 2.5 has already been spent. And we are projecting that come the end of the financial year, we'll be spending 100%. So therefore, the underspending on this case it will be addressed. Now, one of the measures that we have put in place, now when we give the implementing agency advances, these advances accumulate interest. Now, the interest that has been accumulated from these advances must be reverted back to the department and to be reverted back to the revenue. Now, on monthly basis, we are saying, we told the IAs that you need to transfer the interest accrued for that month. How do we know those interests? Because they are submitting the bank statement. And in the bank statement, it shows how much interest has been accumulated. Therefore, we are able to track how much interest was received for the particular month that must come back to the department on monthly basis. Also, it is one of the requirements because when they advertise tenders, normally the tenderers, they are paying a certain fee. Now, that fee that they are paying is money that must come back to the department. It's the money that is accumulated from the tenderers and it is reverted back to the department and that money is being transferred to the revenue fund. Now, in terms of the accruals, as I've indicated, they are submitting the reconciliation and in that reconciliation, we want to see how much has been spent based on the bank statement and how much has been accrued. Now, this information is submitted on monthly basis. It will help to disclose all the accruals for that particular financial year. We'll know upfront how much accruals from the IA invoice not been paid. Now, the reconciliation is assisting as well. Now, the affiliated financial management, as indicated in one of the findings, now the advances, in the past we were not taking the advances. And it was difficult to establish how many invoices were paid. But because of this reconciliation that we have made, we have put an emphasis that you spend 20% and it must show in the bank statement that the money that we gave you is 20% you have spent before we can give you another advance. Now, in that case, we are receiving invoices. One cannot be surprised if I indicate that today we have spent 2.2 billion of the 2.5 billion. Now, it's because of this measure that has been put in place. Now, the expenditure is very easy now these days to track the expenditure amount spent by the implementing agency because of this reconciliation. So, hence, we are able to gather all the invoices that they have paid to the contractors to be submitted to the DPE. Our expenditure has improved to 2.2. And as I've indicated, we are projecting the whole balance of 2.5, although we may have the accruals, but the accruals it will be because our budget will have been exhausted. Another area, it was the transfer of completed schools. Now, the practical and final certificates are provided by the IAs for the completed schools. Now, when the school has been completed and ready to be occupied, we require the IAs to submit the practical completion as well as the final certificate. Now, when we submit those, we look at our past system, our system records, and check how much invoices that went through the system in a particular project, and we reconcile the two figures from the final account as well as the test. Now, the quality surveyors provide invoices which are clustered. Now, when the project started, some of the IAs, the contractors were covering schools. In this case, I mean one contractor maybe has to build three different schools. Now, in some cases, we find that the invoice that was invoiced, it was an invoice with plaster schools. Now, what they're currently doing, the quality surveyors are going back to the 2010 project and look at those plaster schools, and we are able to get the breakdown. Because definitely we know this school cost how much. But the invoice that they submitted then, it was a plaster invoice with amount, one amount for three schools. Now, currently we are managing to get the invoices per project through the assistance of the quality surveyors. Now, final accounts are prepared and agreed to the invoice and amounts paid on the system. Now, we reconcile the final accounts, which must agree with the system, the best system, information or invoices that were paid through the system. So they have been reconciled before we can make the initial transfer. Now, in terms of the supply chain of the IAs of the RCD project, we have some challenges in terms of IAs not following the procurement processes. Now, the measures that we have put in place is that we have amended the Memorandum of Understanding of IAs, where all the prescriptions in terms of procurement are included there and should be adhered to. Now, RCD approved all the contracts. The contractors' contracts have been appointed by the RCG in the DPE, and all contracts are signed by both the DPE and the contractors, so that we check the compliance as well as the performance of contractors. Now, again, RCG obtain and keep records of all procurement documents from the IAs. Now, in certain instances, the RCG officials, they sit in the DHC meetings of appointing the contractors. Now, the reason being we want to have additional regular expenditure where the IAs are not following the procurement process. So those are the measures that we have put in place. We are appointing the contractors. They, if we were unable to sit in those DAC due to capacity constraints, but and also, even if we sit, we have to appoint the contractors ourselves. And satisfy ourselves that all the procurement processes have been followed in order to keep the regular expenditure. Now, as indicated in the first one, the restatement, here it was basically the materiality, it was one of the IAs in terms of the irregular expenditure, not following the procurement processes. Now, as I indicated, we have amended the MOAs of the IAs. Now, in those AMPs, we have included the clauses which specify clearly which compliance that must be followed. And here we say all the government prescription needs to be followed. Now, here we are trying to keep the irregular expenditure to escalate. Now, delay in appointing an ACE. One can say to members that the appointment of the implementing agency, we are still going to incur irregular expenditures until their contract has ended. Because we appointed those irregular IAs irregularly because we went out on tender and the process of appointing was delayed and the implementing agency, I'm talking about, for example, the IDTs, the KUHAS, the MPULA Trust, so we that is why I'm indicating that the irregular expenditure we're still going to incur because of the contract that we have with the implementing agency. Now, after the end of those contracts is when the department will not incur further irregular expenditure. However, one can indicate that the irregular expenditure that was incurred, it was not through negligence, it was a question of not following certain preferences. Because one can show what has been done with the amount spent. Now, we have requested treasury approval for the to condone the irregular expenditure. As indicated, it was not a question of negligence. The schools were required and the tender process was taking a longer time. Now, one of the irregular expenditures, it was the filing of the AG, it was the tender which was advertised less than 21 days. Although in this one, the department discovered that the tender was advertised for less than 21 days. They issue another addendum, but in the addendum, we didn't include that this is the extension of the tender that was previously advertised. And in that case, it was declared as an irregular expenditure. As I indicated, the department discovered that the tender that was advertised, it was less than 21 days. It made a follow-up by issuing an addendum correcting the dates. However, in the addendum that was issued in the tender bulletin, was not specifying that this is the extension of the contract that was previously advertised. So the expenditure was delayed in irregular expenditure. Now, there was another finding regarding the NFPAS. Now, the AG indicated that some certain students are funded through NFPAS and they have deviated from the intended program. Now, this matter is currently under investigation by the unit involved with NFPAS. So the committee will be given an update to give the status of the deviation, if there was any deviation at all. The NFPAS, the transfer that the department is making to NFPAS is for the recruitment, for the teachers. Now, the AG indicated that some of the students which are funded from the NFPAS are transferred. They have deviated from the program. In fact, if they are supposed to do teaching and they are doing something else, now this is still under investigation. Now, one of the findings, the non-disclosure of financial interest by the employees. Although most of the employees which the AG got the finding were trained with other departments. Now, what the department has done, no employees will declare their interest when receiving their appointment letters. So we put it up front so that the member should not tell us that he or she didn't know that she or he must disclose the interest. Now, all the new employees will declare their interest when they are receiving their appointment letters. Now, new appointment letters are prepared to include disclosure of interest. In our new appointment letters, we have a portion where each and every employee must disclose his interest. Any official who transgress by declaring his or her business interest, not only in the department, in government, will be required to explain to the accounting officer, that is the DG, in writing for non-adherence of this compliance to disclose your interest. The human resource management, not proper record keeping of leave. Now, the progress that we have made, firstly we have developed a register to monitor the submission of leave forms. Warning letters are issued to managers who submit leave forms late. Now here the issue is that a manager in a unit, an employee in her unit fill the leave form and the manager submit the leave form late to HR. Now what we are saying that we are going to have the register. All the leave forms that are currently been submitted, there is a register when is the leave form has been submitted. And we check when is the official complete and when the documents were submitted. In this case, if we find that the document has been submitted late or the leave form has been submitted late, the manager responsible for that particular unit will receive a warning letter. This information has been communicated to all the managers. They are aware of it, and hence the register, up to so far, the progress that we have made, we don't have a late submission of this list. The HR unit commenced a process for reconciling the leave registers with all leaf forms to ensure all leaf forms are captured. Now, we also do the reconciliation using the register where the submission has been done. We reconcile to see whether all the leaf forms that were submitted have been captured on the system. So it's an ongoing process. As and when we receive the invoice, that reconciliation is done. Over expenditure in terms of compensation of employee. Currently, we have a moratorium that has been put in place for filling of vacant posts. The CEO budget is monitored on regular basis. Now, on weekly basis, three times we do monitor the budget, not only of the COE, but the entire budget of the department. Now, transferring it into NSFAS management of funds, the department, to strengthen our monitoring, the department requested NSFAS to submit an approved implementation plan. Now, the protocol plan is in regards to the scheme, the bursary scheme itself. So, NSFAS is now being required to submit that implementation protocol plan. Now, in terms of assets management, financial reporting of movable and immovable assets as far as CEDs are concerned. Now, here we are also talking about the provincial education department. Now, the department assists the PEs by reviewing their internal control processes. We have started also to assist in the provinces in terms of assets. We are reviewing all their internal control processes, including internal control policies, identifying weaknesses and providing the necessary recommendation and guidance. Secondly, the department is also assisting the PED with the process of reconciliation between the asset register and the BES in connection with the movable and immovable assets. It was one of the challenges of the Provincial Education Department where their assets are not balancing. Now we are assisting in reconciling the asset register together with their system, the BES system. Also, we are assisting the PEDs with the compiling of the notes to the financial statements. Now, some of the findings of the AG at provincial level, it was a misstatement in terms of the notes of the financial statement. Now, we are assisting this PEDs in the compilation of the financial statements. Ensuring continuous communication between the transferring and the receiving department in connection with the Section 42 transfer of assets. Now, here we are referring to the RCD schools that are completed. Now, we have an open line of communication between ourselves and the Department of Public Works, where when the school has been completed, needs to be transferred to a province. And that communication line has been strengthened between ourselves and the Public Works. The tender administration. Non-compliance with the Treasury prescript. Appointment of external auditors. The department makes sure that they appoint external auditors to sit in those tender processes. Now, appointment of external auditors to audit the bidding process for all the bids with the estimated value of 5 million. So we ensure that we also get external auditors who will be sitting and to oversee whether we are following the correct process within the department. Now, submission of reports to the accounting officer indicating the fairness of the process. Now, the requirement is that those external auditors that are sitting in the department's bidding process, they need to give the accounting officer prior to the appointment whether the process was fair and it was transparent. There we are going to care if there was a flaw of the treasury prescription, it will be captured immediately. Supplier database and compliance on awarded purchase orders. The department upgraded the Equal system to NET, which is a system to register prospective suppliers on the department database. Now we try to accommodate as many suppliers as possible, especially targeting the SMMEs. Now we have upgraded our database, our system where we will be capturing each and every supplier. We knew these suppliers are basically working on this particular project product, so we are able to select from those suppliers, and basically we are targeting the SMM entities here. Payment of suppliers within 30 days. We have developed a register, invoice tracking register, where we know we track and monitor all the invoices that we receive in order for the department to pay within 30 days. Now, if you can look at our current rate of payment of invoices to suppliers, you realize that the Department of Basic Education is getting there. I won't say we are 100%, but we are over 90%. We are getting there because of this tool that we have introduced to track and monitor the invoices. Now, we have also appointed dedicated officials to monitor the payments. So the officials monitor, track all the invoices and make sure that the payments are done within 30 days. So we have a dedicated person who is monitoring all those invoices and whether the payments are done on time. Invoice register developing and implementing a spreadsheet which is monitored by a dedicated record keeper official. Now this official makes sure that the register is updated as and when we receive the invoice. From there, track whether this invoice has been paid. Now the person is a dedicated person. All the invoices are being centralized so that we can track whether the invoices are paid within 30 days. I will hand over to my colleagues to continue with the performance audit. My colleagues from Strategic Plan, she's indicating that I must also deal with this one, the audit of performance of Kari Goody. We have a finding regarding the Kari Goody and the reporting of the performance, the Auditor General indicated that was inaccurate. Now, the recruitment of learners was one of the emphasis of META. Now, what the department has done, we have an approved recruitment policy in place. Secondly, the registration form completed and the copy of ID are attached. Now, here the inaccuracy was the forms that were utilized initially, we didn't include a column where there must be an ID number of a learner attending. And therefore, the inaccuracies, some of them, they were having ID numbers, and others they didn't have ID numbers. Now here in going forward, we have developed a policy that is currently being in use, and in that policy, all the registration forms and copies of ID needs to be submitted when a learner is being recruited to the program. Now, those forms and ID number, we send them to Home Affairs. We have developed a memorandum of understanding with Home Affairs. We send the learners to see whether the learners indeed are in the campaign or are the register in the intended register learners. Now this thing is this verification is done by Home Affairs. So that was one of the systems that we have put in place. In the past, we only received the forms from the volunteers. Some of the forms, they didn't have the ID numbers of the learners. Now, we realize that there may be some loopholes there where we may have learners which are not existing. Now, we have put these measures in place. Now, the recruitment of volunteers.
We have said a clear guidelines are incorporated into the recruitment policy. A checklist is being prepared to confirm submission of all necessary documentation. The checklist is signed by the delegated official from our service provider prior to catering. All exceptions are signed off by the DPO officials. Proper reporting channel on the all the issues identified by the service providers are in place. Now here also, the volunteers, before they claim for stipend, they need to submit register of letters because the DPE should pay the volunteers where there are learners in classes. So they need to submit their registers as indicated together with the supporting documents, which are the ID numbers, and have been verified with the initial submission of the application form. And this information is also been verified by the Department of Home Affairs. In terms of monitoring, how are we going to monitor? Because we have a service provider that is doing that. Now, DPE, the roles and responsibility of our service provider and DPE are documented and communicated. There are clear roles and what DPE should do, what the service provider must do. So those roles and responsibilities have been documented and communicated to the service provider. The standard operating templates for each component of the reporting structure are provided. Checklists are signed off by a delegated DP official. Monthly meetings are being held between the department and our service provider. Audit trail of all the issues raised are resolved. So all the issues that are being raised by the AG were, in fact, are continuously being resolved, because one of the findings was that some of the learners didn't provide the ID numbers or ID documents. And in some instances, there were some learners with the same IDs. So now to check that one is what we've done from the previous slide, that they must submit the authentic copy of an ID, and that ID is being verified from the Home Affairs. My colleagues will take over now. That is B and C.
Honorable Chair, what happened there is during 2009 when, or 2010 when the project started off, the department went out on a tender to get a service provider to do the administration around the Karaguri, and this is the company that was appointed. It's for a 5-year contract. So they do the administration. We then had discussions with the AG on issues when they did the audit there. One of the findings was they thought there were posts around ID numbers and these kinds of things. So what we did is we strengthened the relationship with the service provider and also now monitoring and evaluating the service provider. But the AG&T is the audit company in Pretoria. That's good. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you.
Honorable Chairperson, good morning, and honorable members. I'm going to continue with the audit of predetermined objectives. We must understand this as the objectives that we find in our strategic plan. That's like over a 5-year period. There are strategic goals, there are strategic objectives, and there are indicators. And the presentation that I'm doing is based on the audit of those indicators and those objectives, because they are related. One of the findings was that which was on reliability of strategic objectives, and the areas of emphasis was that information reported is inaccurate, it is unreliable, and it is incomplete. And what are we doing at the moment to improve that since the last audit and even the previous audit? We have documented at least that at the moment what the direct case planning and reporting is doing is that every quarter when we report, we go through the report and then we check the documentation that each branch provides to us to support the output that has been reported. If somebody says they have done 20, that they said 22, we want at those 20 schools. What we have is, at the back of every APP, every annual business plan, we have a section that describes what each indicator means. We call those technical indicator descriptions. And in there, we have stipulated what type of verification documents or support documents will the manager provide so that they can verify whether they, what they are reporting is actually correct and complete, as here we are being accepted for providing incomplete and inaccurate information. So because of the technical indicator descriptions at the back, we are able as teams to look at that and check all the documents that are provided to see whether indeed people have reported according to what they said they were going to report. Now, after we've done a report, if we find that something is missing or there's lack of information or something is incomplete, we prepare a report and we send it back to the branch, to the DDG, responsible for the bank, and we will say to them, you've reported 20 things, but we are seeing 18, so 2 is missing. Either you agree with us so that we amend the report, or you provide us with extra 2 documents or proof that the other 2 things that you have achieved in each have been achieved. And then the branch will go through that, and then they would either agree with us to change the numbers, or they would bring extra evidence to us. We did that because in the past we would just, we would take the reports as they are, and then we would pass them on. And then eventually we would be found wanting at the end of the financial year that things do not match. One of the other things that we are doing is we store every information that we are given by managers. We have actually come up with, in the last financial year for the first time, we developed what we call a standard operating procedure, where each indicator, the manager will tell us how they collect data towards the indicator that is being reported, how they process that information, and how they report on the information, and how they verify the information. The verification of the information will correspond to what is in the technical indicator description, and even storage. Sometimes we are also critical for not storing everything that we have collected as evidence. And those are some of the areas that we have tried to improve on, so that we can store it and it is ready for the audit general when the year comes to an end. The second finding was lack of evaluation of evidence for performance indicators. This was with specific reference to evidence that come from provinces. We had a few indicators. I think last year we had 2. There was one on nutrition program that we are all aware of, the feeding scheme in schools, which is really a provincial competency, and we've been having that indicator in the Department of Basic Education. And it was very, very difficult for us to report on it in that format of, for instance, it was going something like number of learners that are benefiting from the nutrition program. Because for the auditors, they have to get to the last level of auditing the actual learner that was fair. And it was very difficult to report on that. So one of the things is, for this financial year, we have not reported in that indicator as it was, because of the recurring findings that have been happening since that indicator existed in the sector. We have left it for provinces to deal with it at that level, at the learner level. At the DBE now, that indicator has been slightly changed. But we are still continuing working the directorate and the NSNP officials to make sure that spot checking is still done, that the unit goes out to schools, samples provinces and samples a few schools to just check whether all the processes that will lead to correct reporting, even at provincial level, are still in place and are done. And the nutrition directorate, which is in branch S, is doing that on a quarterly basis. We do not have capacity in the DBE to actually go out and do the spot checks ourselves in the units that are leading. The other item was that there were no technical indicator descriptions in the ATP. This came out during the interim audit and it remained a finding at the end of the financial year. It was mainly in reference to our second draft ATP and our first draft ATP for 2014-15, which is the ATP for the year that is ending now, when it was audited during the course, while it was still being prepared. we have not included all the vital indicator restrictions. The outcome of that is that by the time we went to the FED, which is also the final draft, the draft that was tabled last year, March, and the ATC that you now have access to as members of parliament, those technical indicator restrictions are all there. What we have put in place for this year, as we were developing new plans for the 5-year term, we did not wait for the FED draft to do the technical indicator descriptions. We started right at the beginning. And the process has helped because the current interim audit which the Auditor General has conducted were able to actually look at those technical indicator descriptions, and they made some findings and they were able to give us feedback. And based on their feedback, we have been able to, in the last, the draft that was tabled yesterday, we have managed to improve because of the comments that we got from them and also from our internal audit. So we no longer have a problem with the technical indicator description. Okay, that brings me to the end of the predetermined objectives.
Thank you so much for the presentation. Honourable members, I think we have seen the progress in some of the issues that were raised. So I know here the committee, we still have a lot of questions on what you have raised. I do myself, I know honourable members have got a lot. But I'm very interested again in the progress of what the church has given to us. This issue of EGBE and the competency for the provinces, it is always leave this year. I know there's nothing much we can do, but at the same time, we just cannot leave it like this. Because when these audit records come to us, in one way or the other, they do include what is happening in the provinces. For you through the DBE, it's what is really happening again in the provinces. So we understand, fully understand some of the issues that are the provincial competencies. And it's one of the things that was raised even in the findings last year, the financial year, yesterday. We must have those measures in place yesterday for a certain unit. There must be measures and tools to make sure that those branches are responsible to communicate with the provinces so that whenever we reach the stage of coming up with the financial reports, at least we know exactly what is happening, because it doesn't assist us now and again. It's provincial competency. We can't get in there. Whereas when we come up here, we are looking for DVDs, of course, in as much as we understand the concurrent functions that we have with the provinces. Secondly, when you talk of your performance audit for the department, I'm happy that we have touched on the issues of carry goods. Though for me, we are a little bit, you know, economic with the performance audit, because you haven't touched anything on 2 or 3, you know. You simply focused on carry goods, but it was about funding when it comes to that issue. If you can also get into that and so for us to understand what is happening. Yeah, there's so much that you can talk, and let me allow the members to come in. I'll come in at the end or on the presentation that you have just received. Let me note hands. Honourable, everyone has got a bite today. Honourable Majeke, Honourable Bashon, Honourable Farabad, Honourable Bonjane, Honourable Bosho, Honourable Mashabele, Honourable Mbuni, Honourable Mshayise, Honourable Khoza, Honourable Mokoto, and that order, please. You can start, Honourable Mashabele.
Thank you, Chair. I want to be very long to give an opportunity to address this as well. Thank you very much for the financial statement and everything. But one or two questions. One is the first one is more of a comment. We are not very happy when we've got 29% of the 100% which we say has been under utilization of the infrastructure expenditure to 71%, taking into account the situation of our schools. For us to have an expenditure is really, really, very painful, because we know very well the conditions that are not very good at all. So we hope by this time that there will be staying 100% of the infrastructure. We will not have 29%. Now, my question is on NASA. Students, I've heard a complaint from students from this FEC college that they applied to NASA for support, and then when they have to sign the form, they've been allocated the funds.
Excuse me, Honorable, can I protect the department today? When with us, the presentation we talk of NSF, the only concentrate on this change that we give them all from that but can I your question just craft it before the to higher education?
Okay. The last one is about nutrition. Though you've already said it's a traditional competence, I hope and I would request that you do make a follow-up, because when you check from some of the schools and the children, they will tell you that, oh, we were fed twice a week, and then maybe we got food once a week, and then it's not consistent in some of the schools. So if the parents can really make sure that the parents do spot check this food, and if you can get the report, where actually are they going, then maybe we can improve the situation. Thank you.
Thank you, Chetati. Thank you to all the presenters. It is a really an informative session that I'm pleased with, that some of the recommendations were really followed up. Mine is just also an NSFAS on Funza Mashaka. I would like that the DPP should come up with a strategy to show how to address this issue of students deviating from the actual program or actual subjects that they were recruited for, to be able to account for the rent value on the students. What is also disturbing my mind is when the payment is equal for all without keeping follow up on how is this money spent. The amount of money is being paid for students for accommodation equally, whether you stay at home for those who are having privilege to be nearer to the institution, they get the same share with those who are traveling from far to get their own. How do we account for such money? On lead management, I noticed that you concentrated on managers submitting this late. What about HR people who are delaying the process of capturing leave because they want their backlogs to use them for overtime? For me, you should also come out with strategies. You only punish those who have submitted it. What about those who capture it late purposefully? On NSNP, I like this spot check program, but please concentrate on rural schools, whereby learners don't get food on daily as it is supposed to, whereby suppliers are not paid on time. And the spot checkup usually, I know a announcements from the different levels, whereby you will get the notice that there will be a spot check, but please look for at the schools and the perimeter, because we have to go back with so-and-so in such and such a plane. Let us take this serious and go to those deep rural places and check even their kitchens, even the utensils, learners who are carrying their plates and spoons from home, whereas that money, there is an administrative fee whereby dishes and what can be bought and so on. On Karibute, really Karibute, it is a problem. Monitoring, my suggestion is that monitoring should be intensified, both for learners and tutors, the attendants. You know, learners will be recruited, but they don't attend. Some, because this program is during lunch time, they are tired, it's eating time for them. And even the tutors, are people that really don't take this. There's something that I would like that I will ask in general, even for my chairperson. The recruitment that is going on now for learners, those of the previous, the 554 syllabus, and the CATS students, whereby learners should pay 300 rand for the teacher salary. How genuine is that? I don't know. So, and the last one, thank you, Chairman. The over expenditure in terms of compensation of employees is worrying. Why is that? Don't we plan strategically that this year we are going to appoint so many people for this position to be in the perimeter of what we have budgeted for? Why should this now go over expenditure? Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you, Chairperson. I'm going to be very rude and leave after my questions. I have a meeting in my office at Opposite, so my colleague will take the responses on my behalf. But may I say, we're busy with the AG. There's certain things they don't do, they don't support on. Chairperson, I want to ask something on the... overall, the AG's duty is also to make sure that we get value for our money. I think, especially with reference to infrastructure. Now, I've noticed over the last year, almost a year, that the tariffs, and I know it was set in the national budget the other day, that we're going to look at a new system on controlling the plans as well as the quotations for building schools in future. But it's not there yet. So obviously, even though 70% has to be done before you do a new allocation or an advance, surely we must make sure that we also have value for money before we do an advance. I think that is crucial. The other thing is, I'm not sure how the AE's report will refer to instances where brand new schools have been built, costing millions, still standing empty. I can give you a list, there are many of them. So those are the things I think that need to be discussed, got to be brought into, or if they are reported, we should be able to, if I ask the questions we ask the minister, to actually see what happened there. In many cases, there is a discrepancy between the contractor and the department, and then there's legal process, or somebody just got too much money and then left the site. I think those are major problems. The other issue I have to raise is that I haven't seen in this, and I will study the report more convincingly, is the issue about the losses we occur in provinces, and it comes in the provincial audit reports. The issue of the ghost posts, as well the money spent on teachers on sick leave, etc., but getting paid, and it goes over the days of sick leave allowed. And I am
I'm really keen to hear when the gentleman referred to the CAFTA's invoices. You referred to 2010. That it stopped in 2011 or still ongoing, was it since then? And then I would really like to know, you also referred to a tender that was advertised less than 10 days in the amended version, etc., etc. Is that only one tender or is it more than one? If it is only one, who is this company and what is the amount of that specific tender? Chairperson, I may rudely be excused. I'm terribly sorry. Figures are interesting, but I have committed myself. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. My apologies for coming late. Chairperson, you are aware that I'm divided between this committee and Committee on Intelligence. Thank you. The matter of the reason for saying this, Chair, because I missed the introductions at the beginning of this session, because I was happy when you intervened and asked the President to explain some of these abbreviations appearing on the presentation. But it was interesting that the President himself did not know what it meant. It might be a small thing, but serious, because when you present here, you must have prepared amongst yourselves. So it's a serious thing to me, but let it go. Chairperson, my questions on page 5 concerning the disclosure of business outside one's employment. You talk of new employees that will have to fill in the forms, and what about the older ones? Will they just be left of the hook, not disclosing their interest? That's my first question. And also still on page 5, you have put a moratorium on the filling of posts. Will that include the post of the DG? That's my second question. My third one is on page 8, where you talk of the inaccurate and incomplete information which is submitted to the department. I think you also spoke, because what is important here is accountability, which has been very weak throughout all the levels of the system. Now the response we get that the department will call in the responsible official who has submitted incomplete, inaccurate information to correct. Now this, for me, if it recurs, you just keep on calling officials. That's weak to me when it comes to accountability. One would like to see a stronger action be taken against such officials who are supplying the department with incomplete and unreliable information. Just your views on that one. And lastly, on page 8, you admit that you have no capacity in the DPE to do the spot checks. That's very fair. But as it ends there, that we just don't have capacity. But we as a committee accept that and let things go. You don't have capacity. Let us hear something better than that from the department. Thank you, Chairman.
Thank you so much. We will have to stop at a certain point for the point to show that you can continue. But let me give a chance to another workshop.
Chairperson, thank you. Practically all the questions have been asked. I just want to build on the question with regards to the employees. You speak of new employees, but what about those new employees who after a few months
decide to get work outside the department. How are you going to go to work about with them? And then with regard to the lead registers about not proper record keeping, what happened to the SAM system, SSM system? Would that not be able to alleviate or assist in getting correct record keeping with regard to leave taken? Thank you, Chair.
Thanks so much. Can I just stop there for now? Give the DBE a chance to respond, then I'll start with Honorable Mashabele, then we will go to the rest of the questions. I can do the leadership to become a law. Can you respond?
Thanks, Honorable Chair. I will do a couple of questions and then I'll ask my colleagues to assist. I think the first issue between the DB and the provinces that chair raised, the concurrent functions, is still a big issue. But it's come from a number of forums now, and the minister has indicated that in their management meetings as well, that the department needs to step up on that. If we can't say no, but we are run concurrent functions, and that we must really start to think in education rather than just to do the policy issues around that. So that is really under the microscope at the moment, and I think we have to fix that very, very quickly. But the minister has also indicated to the DG and to the senior management, even yesterday, Madam Chair, before we could down. The second issue on the Kaiguri story, that is a program that was launched in about 2010, and you know the background around that. In the audit that the Auditor General then did, two big things came out. The one was ghost employees, and the other one was the monitoring and evaluation around the service provider that the department has employed to assist in that. And that is why Mr. Maluleka referred to the whole issue of Home Affairs assisting the department to come in. Previously there was an issue with ID numbers and things like that. We've got a system in place now where we're checking each ID number against what was issued by Home Affairs to try to resolve that. We also received numerous complaints about ghost workers, people receiving double salaries, those kinds of things, but there's a huge cleanup operation. We've also then appointed additional staff to that unit with the capacity and the knowledge to go out into the provinces and try to assist that. Monitoring is also taking place now on a monthly basis. Mr. Mwell has put management teams there to go out and monitor and then refer that. The DG also has a weekly meeting now with the Kaiguri officials as well as with the service provider to try to sort out this. One of the things that happened is that the enrollment dropped almost by about 200,000, from 600,000 to 400,000. The minister is concerned that and really doing our best to get that thing sorted out. It was one of the factions on this, as you know.
I'm sorry to get in there. That was actually my main question when it comes to the issue to the SSA. Having put these measures in place, What is your observation around the issue of the enrollment? And yet that you are highlighting that it has dropped drastically, and that's what I expected on our number, because on the last report that you got from the department, towards the end of whatever year, you see that the learners, they are dropping. Why? Because even initially, those learners were not there. They were just there. I'm happy to hear that so that from now on, we can plan ahead, knowing exactly what is it that you are planning for, and I think this is going to have a very an impact even on the finances when it comes to the program. Really, for me, we have just been on spot on, because I was interested to know how is an enrollment now that you have made sure that you have these measures in place. Because I know, maybe you can remember, the DG said there was a huge turnover, the high level, the rate of death, and I know as a committee we were not happy about these things, but I think we are getting into the real issue now, is to say what is happening when it comes to government. So, yeah, I think we are in the right track, and we can go back to the drawing board and then hear what is it that we can do with the issues of government. Thanks a lot.
Thanks, Chair. Just to assure Chair, the Minister is looking at that, and she's actually requested us also to enhance the campaign, really very heavy, that the communications get involved and that we advertise this program, 100%. So that under expenditure on infrastructure, Honorable Chair, the department, in a couple, and I know you know that in the previous years we had major underspending on infrastructure. This is especially on the ICD program. What we've done this year is some of the understanding was us not following up on invoices, not making sure that the proper documentation get to the department. What we've done this year or what we're doing at the moment is we visit IAs. We tell them, listen, please give us your invoices, but we pay them within 30 days before 31 March. Mr. Maluleke indicated that it is our president. The reason is actually one that there may be another overexpenditure. We will see what happens when we get there, but we will, and I think Mr. Maluleke is correct, that we will be very close to the 100% honorable chair. The NSFAS, the question was, what are we doing to prohibit, and this is what is happening. Students get the bursary, they enroll for a certain course. We find that especially in maths and science, they start off with maths and science, and then halfway during the course, they change to something easier. We've changed the contract now. Mr. Kojana has ensured senior management that there is a clause in the contract now to say that the student can change them. They must stick to what they applied for in the beginning, so we're tightening that process significantly. So that is their man.
This is student identification and also intersectional identification. Because it is known, you have the records, you do student identification, what level is the gender to be taken? Together with the information, but there was something of this thing is student identification and you did not understand what it was.
Yeah, I have to be honest, I'm not quite sure what is the investigation about. I can follow that. I'm not, I know about that we're changing the contracts. I know about that there's a huge drive around the placement of the conservative teachers, and that we also following up to ensure that the contracts are under the same place. But Honorable Chair, I will follow that up. What is the investigation? Because I'm not really sure about the investigation. But we've changed the contracts. We visit Funzalus of NSFAS. We were in contact with NSFAS to ensure that issues are put in place. The leave management, it's been a problem during the years, and Mr. Malareka was caught on to say it's the leave forms that come slowly to HR. Now, there's no backlog. We're only 800 people within the Department of Basic Education, so it's not a question where you go to the province and there's 50 or 40,000 people employed in that province where that may occur. So we're only 800 people, but what happened is that normally leave is money. So we tightened the process to say if a person takes leave, there must be a leave form so that the leave record is up to date. And I think that is what the AG alluded us to. So that process is in place. We've got a leave register that is in directorate that is then balanced against the leave forms that has been received. And if the manager then doesn't submit the leave form, then we will get a warning letter. It's not a big thing within basic education. I think the thing is more in the provinces, and maybe we must really put emphasis in the provinces, especially around mandatory WL. I've done a very goody one. The infrastructure, the valuable money, that was in the past, and the minister has raised the thing, and honorable members and honorable chair will agree with me that we found that one school in one province would cost 100 million rand, you would go to another school in another province and it's 150, so there are differences. What they're doing at the moment to try to do that is to get some kind of not regulations, but I don't know what to call measures in place and have discussions with the implementing agents, because what we do is we use implementing agents to actually do the contracting for the building of these schools, that there's a uniform issue. The minister is also mentioning this a lot in the meetings to say that this has to be rectified as they do with that at the moment. Ghost workers, we don't have ghost workers within the department. There was a test done by the AG as well as between ourselves. The only ghost workers that we experienced was within the Karakuri project, but that is sorting out. And the sick leave of the teachers, that's more in the provinces. So that's something where we have to really get our monitoring for these stuff. But that is a huge, huge task, man. The tender question was asked about, there was only one tender. What happened there is that the tender was advertised wrongly. There was a resubmittance of that advertisement, but the word then, it was advertised with a short period. Actually, the government printed by the mistake and it was only advertised for about 3 days. He then retracted the thing and said it must be 21 days, but what we did is we didn't put the word to say it's a resubmission, and that is why. But the department didn't lose any money on that, and there were no problems with service providers or something like that. And it's only one case that we've rectified one that. Disclosure of interest, at the moment.
Chairperson, when at what stage are you going to allow us to follow us? Because in Harikota, for instance, says that both, but we don't know to what extent. Okay.
The disclosure of interest is the prescription of government that everybody from director and upwards senior management services must declare their interests. The department has done so throughout the years and we've got a very, very good record. We were only one person declared late, and that was the administrator in Limpopo, because by sending the form we received it 2 days after the cut-off. But everybody else is declaring, all new employers are declaring, and we make sure that that is 100%. I think we've got a very good record around that. Moratorium on the filling of posts. It's not actually a moratorium, sir. They call it a moratorium, but we saw that the personnel expenditure may get into a bit of a problem. We're not overspending, and we definitely won't overspend. So what we did is we said, okay, let's wait a bit with some of the filling of the process. On the DG post, sir, and I'm glad you asked me that question, the DG post will be advertised. Contract of the previous DG comes to an end in April, so that's why we haven't advertised it. So as soon as that is sorted out, the DG post will be advertised. On the information and the no capacity, I think Stella will. Yes, I think I've got a bit more on this particular. Oh. Nutrition, yes, yes. The issue around the nutrition started, there's about 9 million children at the moment that are fed in the honorable member. So it's a huge number. We experience the problems, you know, in the Limpopo where we have problems with service provider. What normally happens is the provinces go out and they then go out on tender within that province to get the service providers to do the feeding. We actually defined the indicator that wrong. We wrote there to say that we will ensure that everybody is fed. The AG then picked that up. We said, go and have a look. What the AG did is, they asked us, how do we monitor it? We said, no, we get reports from the principals to say that all the children are fed. The AG then said that, you, but that's a problem, so how do we rely on that? That was, and that is the thing why we changed the indicator of it to then say, but let the province rather assist us than to help with that. Because for us to go out, and we know we do spot checks, but it's impossible for us to see each and every
student. If I allow for follow up, can I allow the member to ask the got a chance for your questions, then we'll take a follow-up because there will be a few.
I've noted you, Honorable Bosho, who wanted to come up with a follow-up, but it's fine. Let me go to Honorable Mashalele to start with the second one. Honorable Mashalele.
Thank you, Chief. Let me just correct my thing. I'm not Mashalele. La. Mashalele. Yes. Thank you. I've got only two questions here. Let me start with the ACD. Okay. ACD with its good intentions has so far failed to address the backlog in relation to delivery of appropriate school infrastructure with water and sanitation. How many mud schools have you replaced so far through ACD program? And how many still need to be replaced? Then the second question is with regard to under expenditure. Under expenditure, Chairperson, is one of the findings emanating from the Auditor General's report. This problem is an annual occurrence, and you don't seem to have to be winning the battle against under expenditure. Sorry. When are you going to get this done right? Because clearly it seems as if you don't have the capacity to correct this issue. Thank you.
Thank you so much. Honourable members, let me go back to the introduction and the purpose of the meeting today again. We are still coming to the AG's finding report for the financial year 2014-15. Today, specifically, the presentation that we are on is for the past financial year, that is 2013-14, the AG came with the report. There were findings where we sat down like this, together with the DBE, and said, these are the findings that the AG has come up with. Go back, make sure that you correct and rectify those findings. Then today you are here saying, before we engage on the financial report, the agency report for 2015, let us see what the department has done, what progress that they come up with on the previously mentioned findings by the AG. So today, specifically, we are on that. I know honorable members will be coming up to say, let us find more, what is it that you have done. It's fine, I won't stop you from doing that, but let us also not lose the focus of today's meeting. Very soon, the department, the AG, will be coming with some of these, not even some, with all of these issues now to say, 2013-14, this is how far we've gone. These are findings that the AG will be coming with. But specifically, I want to emphasize that today, we are saying from the findings from the previous year, what has the department done? How far are they so that we move on? We wanted to create the space to say, when we are dealing with the financial year 2017-2015, we know exactly where we are, what were the gaps, how have they been filled, and it will have the smooth running as we move forward. I just want to caution you as you make your input as to say that is where we are today. Honorable Moni.
Thank you. Thank you very much, Chairperson, for the clarity. Now at least we know, and we'd like to appreciate the department the way you have conducted yourself on these things. The question that I'm going to ask is just to put more emphasis on what you have already done and doing, maybe to add value. And the issue of the exam claims, you said that if the exam claims are not, according to you, submitted during the few days, they're going to be invalidated. That's what you said. If you take the account of a senior manager putting that claim in his or her boot, while all employees down there have made their part, and you just invalidate without checking, are we not calling the union to cover us? And then another question is a question of the completed affiliate schools, completed schools. Do we have any mechanism to to make sure that the school that has been completed is satisfactory, does not have any defects, because it ends up being the problem or the principal after just being passed. And then the issue of the NSFAS, you put the time frame, because the chairperson has already put the words of Mama saying, now you are speaking of things that you have to do after the investigation. Did you put time frames on how long the investigation is going to take place? The issue of that was also the reform time frame from the original person, the employee, up until the HR. How long should the reform go? And not underlooking the issue of the nature of the leave, because we would sick leave, we would accident, and so forth, all of those things. Did you look at those issues, including the issue of leave without pay, where it just went away without getting authority? And the issue of time frame in the issue of asset management. You said you are going to look at asset management for the provinces. Did you put a time frame on those issues? And then the nutrition. The issue of improving monitoring, in the issue of paying helpers, paying contractors, paying the provision of learners, and then paying correction measures. I think that's all. That's all.
So,
there
are honourable members, my question is to be clear. I could see honourable members, when you were running away from the NSMP. My question is to this,
To be the last day, you
you have for the benefit of all members having taken all your questions. And one aspect that I could not touch is on the question of the Kalkuta, because I think all the speakers are coming from the urban areas. With the rural areas, we've got people who are born there, who are old enough with kids, but they don't have an ID. So in the application of the Kalkuta, and you still have to be faced with those problems, because there are those South Africans who do not have IDs. Perhaps if we can be able to come up with them, encourage them as to how to assess the situation, because if the parents do not have IDs themselves and they have got kids now who do not have a certificate themselves, then the problem is escalating. Thank you.
Then another because they are raising a very important issue of cooperative governance. We'll identify them, you know, because all the departments, we need that. I think we are on the right track as to say, if ever we identify them as education, how are we taking them to social development, to a home affairs? I think that's what we're only saying as a government of the day, that we need that cooperation from different departments. Honorable Mkhodi.
Thanks, Chairperson. Maybe first to accommodation a little bit. I think maybe today that particular is going to be very useful for us if we could get reports, because there were certain, like during the presentation of the report, the department sort of disputed some of the statements that were expressed by the agencies, the findings. Particularly on the issue of assist, the department was saying that we have worked, and then AG was saying that there's no evidence on the number of schools that were built. You can say that we have built so many schools, but there was no proper evidence. Which schools, where are they? And also the statement that you have underspent. You said that the invoices were not there on time. They were not submitted on time, but much has been done. So I don't think it was going to be a bit processing if the department can give us that list of all the schools, because from...
Let me intervene. Let me go back to what I said, honourable members. We have received all these reports as a committee. We have received the AG's report on this for the previous financial year. Today we are following up on the funding. Otherwise, on what is reported today, it's what we have as a committee, it's what we have set down on the last previous year with the department. Those are the reports that I hear. That's why you are able to make a follow-up on these reports, honourable members. That is why I introduced my letter and I even got in the meeting to say it's not a new thing. It's just the development on the findings. But all the reports, honourable members, are with us as a committee. It's up to us for us to prepare. We should have gone to those reports, but they are really, I would love to protect the department when it comes to. It's not the new presentation altogether. Those are the reports that are with the committee, presented, discussed. That's why is the follow-up on those reports and the findings today. Thank you.
Okay, thanks for that clarification. But I think my question is still relevant, because it will be able to give, you know, a way for us to properly do what you want us to do. Because if you go through the report, you talk about evidence reporting that the department is making on. So I thought that it would really assist us if the department says to us that on this item, this is what we have done, and then we shall that letter completely, because we would be able to cross out items on the checklist of the findings of the department. Because also there are deadlines, Chairperson, that we have to adhere to. And then it takes me to the question that how far is the department in terms of making sure that they are able to address all the discrepancies that have been identified in the assessment. I think it becomes crucial in that aspect. And whether the department has been able to properly capacitate itself to, you know, to be able to face that challenge, face those issues, to correct those problems as they have been listed. And then the other point, Chairperson, would relate to the resources that you have already used in terms of making sure that this program goes forward. If you have trained people, how far have you gone? How much have you invested in this program? How? Because you would find that some of the things happen because managers or junior staffers are not properly equipped to carry out some of the functions. Particularly that you also look at the finding where the Auditor General talks about the internal audit function that has been weak. And I think it becomes appropriate if we say that let's understand how the process is unfolding to ensure that it does not become only a management function, it becomes a function of all employees in the department. I also want to talk to the issue of the grants that you are giving to the provinces. It's a bit disheartening to hear that there is no, you don't have a leeway, you know, or the capacity to effectively carry out this monitoring in provinces. Because for me, I think the function is the BBE function, it's not the PEB function. And that the PEBs are just facilitators, since well they have the constituents. So I think the department should start bracing itself to make sure that all the grants that are disbursed to the provinces, the grants that are disbursed, they take responsibility for their accountability. I'm not saying that it's not our function, it's the function of the province. So it means that like I have to support a statement that was raised that we must start taking charge and responsibility for this function and accountability for the funds that have been allocated and utilized at the provincial level, because really it cannot be that you say that provinces are the ones that are like we hide behind the concurrent function. Thank you, sir.
Thank you so much. Can you respond, Cindy? Yeah, on those. And before we even come in, AG, you are here. I know you are not here to make any presentation. But at the same time, as you move on towards wrapping this, because what the discussion is here, with some of the findings, where the findings that you came up with to the department, I would love to hear the way to what the end. Thank you.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. I'll go to some of the questions and then ask Mr. Maluleke and then Stella to respond. I think the first one is on the alleviation of the enough schools. There was a parliamentary question around that, but I don't have the figures with me, but we can confirm that if that's fine with Chair. Under expenditure on the budget of the department, the under expenditure is mainly around the RCD issue. And that occurred in the previous financial year and the financial year before that. What we said, and we have answered that question in saying that we're currently calling that up, and that underspendage, as far as we know, will not occur in this financial year, but it was a finding in the previous financial year that we put that. Examination place, sir, no, definitely if people have done work, they must be paid. So what we are steering is exactly what you said, is that some of the stuff we find in the booth of examiners and things like that, we try to sort that matter out. We also, and I think this is what Mr. Maluleke has alluded, we're putting more responsibility on the managers and the officials within the examination function to ensure that issue is addressed, and I think that also partly answers the question of the other honourable member to say how do we do the accountability issue around that, but definitely we're doing that. Time frames, honourable member has indicated a couple of times, yes, there are time frames in place and we monitor that
definitely. Maybe just to go a bit further around that, what the department does is when we receive the audit report, we have a meeting or a couple of meetings within the department where each finding is then addressed and an action plan is worked out to try to solve that problem. Not following prescripts. Sir, that's a difficult one for me. If you ask my personal, it might be negligence, but there's also other cases in following prescripts, and I'm honest with you, and I talk personally here, I think some of the prescripts coming from the National Treasury and DBSA, it's difficult to follow. And I'm going to give you an example. I'm going to use Ashidi. I'm going to say, Ashidi, if you look at the business plan for Ashidi is money for new schools. And this is what the AG orders. They say, you spend 100 million, I want to see the new school. What happens now is a roof of a school in Limpopo gets blown away. Nothing's been done. The minister gets a letter to say, what are you as Minister of Basic Education doing to repair that school? Because the children are sitting in the rain, school can't take place. We then take some of that money to repair the school. That's a problem. AD comes to us and says, no, it's unauthorized expenditure. That's the things that I'm talking about. It may be negligence. But I think in some instances we need to sort this problem out, and we as a department consider it. SIDNT, that's the company's name. It's an audit company, so that's the name. So I don't think there's a long name, which is SIDNT. Now, ID documents, I think we take cognizance of
that. It's not anywhere related to South African drugs. It's just a name that is independent from that huge company.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. ID documents, I think we take cognizance of that, sir, and I will certainly convey the message to Mr. Mwelo, who is the DG around that, with the getting in touch with Home Affairs, but I think the chair has also answered that question partly. I think the internal audit function, we have assisted there, the department, as we have seconded capable people or officials to assist in that, and one of the briefs that the director negotiated with the those officials is that they do capacity building and that they really assist in doing that. I must say that it is very difficult at the moment to find auditors. Most of them go to the private sector due to the huge salaries that they get paid there. So it is difficult to recruit, but we have the plan in place and we have capacity building around that. I think the grants, Mr. Maluleka will assist, and then there's the questions which I not can get. Thanks, Jim.
Honourable members, on the issue of dealing with evidence of what you report as read by Honourable Mokoto, we have in the earlier presentation, as we are going through one item, tried to show the strategies that we have put in place to try and work through how we can deal with, you know, how we manage government information. I think what we are doing here is we are avoiding to address issues item by item, because today I may help you with your activity indicator, but tomorrow it will be the same issue raised by the AG on lack of evidence on a Karibude indicator. Next time it will be on learning education support material indicator. So what we've done with branches was we put together all the issues that the internal auditors and the AG have raised to try and improve on our strategies. That's why we came up with standard operating procedures. That's why we improved on our technical indicator description, because those things help us to actually deal with the monitoring of evidence that is supplied. Secondly, that's why lately we, after verifying to the limited extent that we can do. We communicate backwards to say, guys, please assist us. But through the bunch reviews, which we are trying to institute in the department, we have not succeeded 100%. But for granted that we have been able to sit down with, we are transmitting this information. It's capacity building at the same time, it's sharing experiences from the audit issues to say, guys, when we are dealing with the audit, this is what you must do. Or on a general note, we say, it is about how you manage what you do every day. It's not about what you report to the AG or what you report to us. When you are charged with the responsibility of building schools, or when you are charged with the responsibility of producing and distributing materials to schools for learners, make sure you have evidence from stage one up to the last stage. Because you don't know what the auditors will look for. They might look for paper trail from the end, and they go backwards to where they started with this process until you were able to report that this indicator I was able to achieve 100%. So they would want to start from the beginning to the end. So that's what we've been trying to share with branches, with more than one person, because it is easy to deal with one manager every time when you respond to audit queries. Whereas in fact, it is something that must transcend across the branch or the unit that is dealing with these issues, because it is related to our business agreement. It is related to what each and every person does on a daily basis, not just about what is in the annual business plan. So those are things that we are trying to do to enhance the culture of managing government information. It is slowly, but it is happening. It won't happen within a year that, you know, everything is 100% done. But I believe if we continue and don't give up, 2-3 years down the line, we will be able to get what we want from Manila. And then earlier on, the issue on capacity to do spot checking, especially on the example of the nutrition program, I alluded to the fact that there was no capacity. I was referring to my unit, which is dealing with reporting. Not that DB is not doing spot checking. The NSNP unit in branch S, they do the spot check because that is their function. They've got criteria on what schools are in the nutrition program, and they go out on a quarterly basis to check some of the things that have been raised. But a lot of inputs that one honorable member alluded to, I have noted, and then I will transmit to the relevant units to specifically with taking what happens in rural areas in terms of utensils, kitchens, you know, the number of days that learners are fed, etc. We will put that together as coming from this portfolio committee meeting for them to pay attention to as they do the spot check. I don't know what I have left out in terms of business information. If there's anything the honourable members would like that, thank you.
Thank you very much for that. I know we're interested in that, but the way follow up, I'm not sure whether you should have a follow up question just for a few and not be long now so that you can drop up this, not because I shop on our own contract on our fashion.
Thank you, Chair. My follow-up is on derivation by learners. I don't know how does that become transfer payments. Maybe that will get might be directed much to the AG when there is a deviation. How does it become transfer payment? My understanding is that when the response came was that if the learner was funded for doing economics now, the learner deviated to math. It's how they responded. Then I don't understand how it becomes a transfer payment. Secondly, it's on the payment of service provider. Why are we at 90%? Because as the requirement from FMA is that we must be at 100%. We must be, unless if we indicate that 1, 2, 3 is making us to fail to fail. They never said anything about budget or late submission. And that's the chairperson, with that SAP thing, I won't be having a a challenge if SAB is not delivering the product. But if it's manna, be happy. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. This is not a follow-up. If I recall correctly, my colleague asked a question about the schools that were built and still standing empty. Where does the discrepancy lie as to why it has not been taken up? And then the question with regard to invoices. I didn't catch her question quite correctly. She asked something about these invoices. Did they stop in 2010? I see he's nodding, so thank you very much for that. Sir?
Thank you, Jefferson. On her good day, the exact figures, please, if you have them for that year, those teachers' books or whatever, if you have those figures. People, yes, and also on the declaration of Israel, let me go back to that one. I must have missed that one. Yes, about corrective measures for the new employees. But the Auditor General was talking about that current financial year. But your employees don't declare. I didn't hear what you are doing about old ones who are already in the system. What I forced them to have them declare their interest. And last question, on page 5, it's written in page 5, it's written, where's page 5, Chair? yes, on page 5, a moratorium placed on filling of posts. That's what is written. Now you can be, no, but it's not moratorium. What is, do I write something which you don't mean? You say not moratorium. It's really not moratorium. What is it? Thank you.
Another finding that we had last time
you even promised that you make sure that the project, another project awarded to each contractor, don't give one from main project to one contractor, you know, because at the end it leads to poor performance. Have you done it? I'll file it with only that I'll find, I will say, come the agency report for this year. We are going to go to that. And the whole issue I know you're talking about is the maintenance of record keeping. I think we just need to talk about it because it was one of the findings that you do keep the records well within the department. And we find we get the findings most of the time from the agency office. But on the issue of ACIDI, from what we have reported, that we are not accepting the under expenditure as we have said, the way the progress, the way we have monitored the processes, as it was found in the Ultras report last time, that one of the recommendations was that sometimes we as a department, we don't monitor the processes now and again, but from what we're gathering here, we hope that you are on check, and when we get the report for 2014-15, we are not going to go back to that. I think for the time we need to comment here, but because most of the findings you see that then they were around the issues of ACG. Not for me, we have tightened up those points when it comes to that. I hope that we are going to get a very good audit report when it comes to that. But otherwise, just respond briefly on that. The AG will take in 1 minute, then we proceed to our end of our meeting.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I'm going to be very quick. The 30 days payment of suppliers, some of the suppliers, it's not our making that we don't pay within 30 days. You find that some of the suppliers have given you the banking details. You go to the system, they've changed their banking details. Now you need to go back to them to give you what banking details are currently being in use. So we are aware we have to pay within 30 days, but some is beyond our control because it's the supplier, him or herself. Hence, they are unable to charge us interest if we don't pay within a specific time. So the fault is within them. Now, the figures in terms of category, the ghost learners as well as educators, we will send the figures through. We do have the figures. And the stipends which were paid to relevant volunteers affected has been deducted from them. So the figures we do have, we know how many learners and how much each and every volunteer charged the department an extra fee, and which has been deducted. Now, the conditional grant one, to emphasize, the department has a specific unit which is dealing with the conditional grants, the grant management unit. It cuts across all the five conditional grants that we are having. They are monitoring the implementation, they are looking at their business plan, they are looking at their reporting requirement, and they visit the provinces with their provincial counterpart. So the department is doing, it has opened a unit that is going to look at the conditional grants themselves. Now the last issue, or the last but one, the ACD, there was a question by Honorable Mgoni regarding the ACD schools which are damaged and the contractor has left the school. What is going to happen? Now, in construction, we have what we call the retention period. Now, during that retention period is where if there are any defects, they need to be corrected because we are having back a certain amount where we will rectify any other defects that may come after. Now we call it a retention period. So normally, when we transfer a school to the province, we must have a close-up report after the retention period. That retention period is to check if there are any defaults. So it's been taken care of that one. In terms of the NSPAS, the investigation is around to find out the extent or how many have deviated from there, so that we know what we are talking about. We know how we have 1,500 learners within all the universities which are
deviated, and this is the total value. So currently the investigation is only around that. We want to quantify how many have deviated from which universities. So that is the current investigation which is about to be completed. It's just to quantify how many deviated and the value of the deviation. Now I think I've covered most of the question.
Yes, I can. Thank you, Honorable Chair. I think the school building is still empty. I'm not quite sure if it is the Ashiri program or if it is the Provincial Education Department that are building those schools. I saw in the news about a month ago that there were schools empty in Limpopo, but as far as I know, that is under the Limpopo Education Department. But what we will do, Honorable Chair, is we will investigate this and in writing come back to you. It would also be very helpful if we could get some of the names of the schools that are, so that we can sort them. That would help a lot.
The findings with that. I think the honourable member did understand that one. It will be talking all together as to what we're doing with the rationalization of schools and the progress of the report to that. Yeah.
Honourable Chair, the quick last one, the one that was asked by Honourable Van der Waals, the clustering of invoices of school. Now, this it was when the project started, the infrastructure project. As we go along, we are learning on this infrastructure project or the thing. Now, this was only happening in 2010-11. Now, in going forward, 2012-2013, we have to, they have to spread the invoices. We need to know a particular school, so we will make a project per school within our system. So that was a once-off, but it never happened again the first time.
Thank you, honourable members, honourable chair. Firstly, let me start by addressing the question that was intended about talking about the deviation of these learners, why do we have that as a regular expenditure. It is very critical that I put context to this. We think it's a regular in a sense that these funds were intended for Buzan Charter, which is intended to develop teachers. We have to take people to train this teacher. Now, the view of the audit office there was that these guys in our initially they had registered for education qualifications. Some of them, when we verified what they were doing, had nothing to do with education qualifications. And we were therefore taking the position that this money was not used for intended purpose. That's where we are coming from. And we allowed the department an opportunity to go back to Mr. Esmerson and Abdelkader to investigate and to make sure that they because all audit on a sample basis. What is the extent of the problem on the whole situation and what they've got? And we have meetings with them where they are giving us feedback on it. But it's quite a long process as they need to engage all the institutions of higher education to see the scope of the problem there. I must indicate through your chair that we have numerous meetings with the department where we encourage them to develop audit action plans that are intended not only to address the audit findings but the root causes. Because some of these findings you could hear that they are recurring. And I must say, even though the process is not there where we would prefer it to be, they are making significant improvements in addressing the root causes that will make sure that these findings does not recur. If we listen carefully to the types of findings that we make, they centered around five areas. Daily discipline, instilling a culture of discipline to make sure that people does what they are employed to do on a daily basis. A classic example is the issue of you say, how do we address the problem going on the system? It starts with basic disciplines of doing what we are expected to be doing within your line of responsibility. The other issue is more of coordination with the principal as has been in making agent service providers and PAs. The national business of education and the way we facilitate the audit office is such that you can cannot work in silos. And by nature of the current functioning environment, it's also that you need to engage continuously and coordinate with those that are servicing you to deliver quality specification. And we are saying, if the coordination issues are addressed, it should be able to resolve some of the challenges that we have, and the department acknowledged that as well. And they're putting processes in place, and it was confirmed at the level of the minister and the DG that by engaging the MEDs and the provincial level of departments to address the type of concept that we raised at the Audit Office in education. Also, the element of consequences, very critical, the second one. We are saying, let's look at the environment and the areas where you have challenges and actions to address the consequences of those that are leading us to deliver on our ability, as designed by the department. And consequences management don't necessarily imply that we need to be appropriate, that people need to be fired. If there's a need for training, we train those people, we equip them to make sure that they are facilitated to deliver on their responsibilities. In the case of implementing agents that are failing us, we best can consider the issue of failing process in our NMA is that such as there can be penalties if they don't deliver. It takes a school to build 2 years, then we need to have penalties saying this was the delivery date, we have been delivered, and therefore how do we then address an implementing agent? And other people that are servicing us, it can be social departments as well. We need to make sure that this is coordinated properly. Monitoring and evaluation is very critical in the nature of this business, in a sense that then I'm not only referring to the ME unit within DB responsible for reporting or specific training. I'm saying taking stock of what we are doing at the department and making sure that where we fall short, we develop policies and processes that will make sure that address those that are impeding on our ability to deliver. It is very critical to make sure we take stock of everything that we are doing, because if we leave it change is very late in the year, we will be most likely that we'll be having similar functions, type of administration. Resources and capacity is very critical. And we need to facilitate our department to make sure that it has right skills and resources, as an example on infrastructure, to depend forward initiative. Even if it's something that we see it after we have paid all the money to the implementing agent, but it's something that we need to detect before all money that's due to the implementing agent is identified, and we make sure that we don't respect all the funds, because now it might cost the department a lot of money to go back and correct what was supposed to be delivered by the implementing agents. But I must emphasize the fact that the department is taking our audit findings very seriously with the leadership of the DPCs and the DG. We have continuous meetings with the audit committee where we evaluated the type of responses they gave in providing assurance on what they have done to address audit findings. And I'm comfortable that they provide evidence to have assessed that something is related with the audit findings. But again, the limitations in the audit process in the sense that we only audit on a sample basis. It is not critical to cover everything. So, we are saying, and this has been the recommendation for the department, when we raise the funding, go back and investigate the entire operation. And then they try, but there's limitations on them again, as well as capacity issues. That's all I would have said. Thank you.
Thank you so much, Mr. Diaz, from the AG's office. Thank you so much, Department, EE, for the presentation that you've made. But I think what we're learning is the committee expects good cooperation between these two officers, that whatever we find out, the department, you are very happy and proud of you today. You are making follow-ups on these findings, and that makes us to be even more interested to hear the current financial year, especially where I was going to find ourselves at and. But it's promising that most of the things, yes, as we are saying, some of them cannot be corrected over here, but as you see the work in progress, that is what we are saying. It will lead us somewhere, the department, where we'll be getting the clean audits, nothing of emphasis as we move forward to the year to come. So thank you ever so much. Let's hope and wish you good luck as you move forward with correcting some of these findings. Now we're going to get into a presentation where we're looking at the management performance assessment through the MDEC. That is one, again, of the presentations that we've had. Again, we are saying there's a portfolio committee. Whenever there is a presentation and we promise that we make follow-ups on, that's exactly what we are doing.
And I think our DBE, in one way or the other, we are sharing as a committee, we are the reading committee, we are the committee that keeps information, we are the committee that is making follow-ups. So whenever we are having the meetings like this and we say we are going to make follow-ups on that, going away from the things, this is like just what we are saying, that is why today we are here, to say what are the things that you have done on the findings. Again here, the Department of Performance Monitoring Evaluation came to make a presentation on this, and together with the DBE, they will get specially identified when it comes to the issue of administration procedures and improvements. So we could get better identified again, we just go and work on some of them, so that you come and present us. I remember when we used to have a recommendation, one of the things that we did, that members go and look at them and improve on the gaps that you identified. I know with presentation that you come in, it's quite interesting with those colors there that you are going to explain to us, because it can show how far you are and what is it that was found, that was highlighted as being some of the gaps. Then from today on, you know what is it that we have done on those gaps and moving forward, what is it that we can expect from the department. I know it won't be a long presentation, this one, it should be very short, but let me hand over to you again, Mr. Schumann, to lead us on the MPH presentation.
Thank you, Honorable Chair. Stella will do the presentation on the MPAD and the questions. Thank you.
Honorable members, I'm going to take you through the Management Performance Assessment Tool, or MPAT as we commonly know it. I think we are very lazy in the education sector. It's got a lot of acronyms. Okay, the content they show that we will just do an overview of what the Management Performance Assessment Tool is all about. And then I will explain the different categories that are utilized to score each department on how it has performed. And then I will show you the scores of the department for the last financial year, or the audited financial year, which is 2013-14, and what is currently happening in 2014-15, because the process is still ongoing. And then I will highlight the areas of weaknesses and improvements. Maybe let me hasten to say, we were this whole thing started, we didn't think the specialists would come and do the presentation. So the DG requested us to make it as simple as possible so that it can be communicated with very clear understanding. But if there are elements where you would want to be specific, I have something with me that I can connect for members to see. In terms of introduction, what used to be the Department of Performance Monitoring and Evaluation, which has now changed its name because of the merging of the public, the Planning Commission and the DPME. It is now the Department of Planning, Monitoring and Evaluation. It put in place this tool in an attempt to strengthen administration in our department. When we first looked at this, at it as public servants, we thought, well, these look like issues that are raised by the Auditor General. Whether it's a good or bad thing, I think it's up to departments, depending on whether how lazy we are or how well we want to improve on our administrative systems. Because the AG comes in at the end of the financial year and tells you how you've performed in certain things. Sometimes the administrative issue seems to be hidden under, you know, all the financial aspects of the audit, and lately the intense focus on predetermined objectives. But when you read the AG report, the first few pages will actually show you whether departments have systems in place to actually monitor everything to a point where we are able to perform well in finances or in how we monitor our performance information. And I think this is where this tool came in, because it will close the gap. If we pay attention to the questions raised in the MPAT instrument, we are likely not to be found wanting by the time the AG comes at the end of the financial year. So basically that's why that instrument came into assistance. The aim was that on an annual basis you get to see how well we are doing in terms of our practices to do these things. Now, MPET was developed in collaboration with the Department of Public Service Administration, or DPSA, and the National Treasury, because the National Treasury for a very long time has been custodian of performance information management and also financial because of its name. The AG was involved, and the Public Service Commission as well. So in 2012, for the first time, the tool was piloted. It ran in some departments. Some departments did not even participate. If you look at the 2011 outcome, a lot of departments did not participate at provincial and at national level. And even those who did it, they didn't do it to the full extent of, for instance, attaching documents, you know, evidence of whether certain things exist, as we would do with the AG. And then subsequent to that, in 2012, it was done properly, where, as you say, I do have a strategic plan in the department, you have to attach a strategic plan and approved, or show that the strategic plan was approved. So it has happened in 2012, in 2013, and the current year, which is ending, the process is still ongoing. We have been moderated, all departments have been moderated, and then we were given a challenge period during which you raise the issues with DPME to say, why have you given me a 1 year or a 2 year when I had given myself a 3 and I have attached the following document. And based on those, then you are able to evaluate them from the 2 that they give you and push your score up to 3. But they don't do you a favor. They have to check the documentation again and really satisfy themselves that you have given them what was required or what was stipulated for you to submit in order to prove that a particular policy has been implemented, or disclosures are submitted, or performance agreements are signed in HR, or strategic plans are approved and tabled, you know, those kinds of things. Now, in the Department of Basic Education, those are the names of people who are charged with the responsibility of managing the different key performance areas within the tool itself. There's an overall coordinator, and then depending on type of key results, areas are grouped into 4. Into those 5 groups. The first one is strategic management, and that's why my name is there, because this is where they ask about annual performance plan, strategic plan, reporting, etc. KPA number 2 is governance and accountability. It has a number of issues. It includes internal audit issues, risk management, management structures within the Department of Basic Education and how they are managed and run. For instance, all the meetings that we have, big meetings like our senior management, they have to see the minutes, the action plans emanating from that, etc. And then the third key result area is HR. This is where you have all things related to human resource management come in, whether it's employment, equity, diversity management, performance agreements of senior managers and of the HOD, etc. Then key performance area number 4 is financial management. Ms. Maluleka here next to me is responsible for ensuring that we deal with that properly, because it has got issues of expenditure management, supply chain issues, they are all in that section. And only in 2014, for the first time, KPAI was introduced to say how has the MPET process been carried out in the department. Because we do carry out and get good scores here and there, but they also wanted to monitor how it is done. I mean, that it goes, does it follow all the requirements? Does it, maybe before submission, for instance, does senior management sit and interrogate the scoring that the managers have done as they were attaching documents? Is it audited by internal audit, for instance? As you can see, the last term before the DG can approve what has been loaded is the internal audit. She has to check all the evidence that is loaded. And after that, it can go back for approval by the DG, and then it gets submitted to DPME. So this is the team that runs the process. I don't know whether you'll be able to see all those scores. Let me explain the colors. Red, it says the department is non-compliant with legal requirements. For instance, in my KPA, the first APA on strategic plan, it will require me to, or the requirement there is there a strategic plan for the department. So if there is no strategic plan, or if I attach a strategic plan that has not been tabled in parliament, there's no proof that such a plan exists and it was approved, then even if I can score myself a 2 or a 3 when they moderate me and they look at the plan and there's no evidence it was tabled, they will score me a 1. So it simply says we did not comply in terms of development of such plans as a department. Then you get a red. Level 2, the department is partially compliant with legal or regulatory requirements. There are levels, the structure levels, you know, they start with the base. When you have a 2, you've got the bare minimum. The plan is there, but there may be other things that are required for me to get a 3 and a 4. So if you comply to the bare minimum, they will give you a 2. Level 3, the department is fully compliant. When you've got everything in place, you get a 3. Now, the difference between a 3 and a 4 is that in 4, you are doing it in a smart way. You might be having extra things that are not required that show you are on top of issues when it comes to this. Then they will give you a 4. So basically, when you look at the scorecard for the department in 2013-14, which is the year that has been fully done and completed, under strategic management, out of a total of 3 indicators, 1 was yellow, 1 was red, and the percentage there was 10%. Oh, 1 was level 4, 1 was level 3, and 1 was level 1. And because of that, the score that we do there, we are saying when you are at 3 and 4, what is the percentage? So that we can gauge ourselves as to how well we are doing. So when we give an overall percentage of 65% there, we are saying in all areas that have been audited, we've got 3s and 4s up to 65, or we performed at 65% level, because at least at 3, it says we are fully compliant. So that 65% represents all the key areas, strategic management, finance, HR, and governance brought together. And you take the level 3s and you take the level 4, it gives us 65%. In my documents here with me, I also brought the scores for 2012, which was the first year when MCAT was done properly. Our score was 55% for level 3 and 4. So last year we were able to improve some of the areas that were not good in 2012 by 10%. So we moved from 55% to 65%. Next page. We are on an ongoing process now in 2014-15. We submitted our documents as requested after scoring ourselves, and the department was scored at 48%. And in January, February, we went through a challenge period where we submitted or we queried some of the scores that we were given. It happens every year. The process from the beginning to the end includes a challenge period. Now, based on our current challenge period, we are saying the 48% that we have been given as a preliminary score, we don't agree with it, and we have submitted documents, we have argued where we are not happy with the scoring, and we think if they agree with our challenge, we will go up to 72%, but that is based on the challenge period and the submission that we have done now. We don't know how it will turn out. Eventually, I think later in the year, you will get a full report on how we have performed on 2014-15 as a financial year. And when you look at those scores, you can see that at the moment, we've got, based on the 72% that we are predicting, we've got level 4 at 30% and level 3 at 42%. We've got very few level 1s, it's 3%, and when you look at it, it's only one area in HR. And that is specific on diversity management. And it will come when you look at the area that we have to work on, because we have to work on both tools and both the tools and the ones. We still have a number of tools that we are not happy with under governance, under HR, and other finance, and we are hoping we can use those to plan for the next cycle. Let's say we don't get a clean bill when the audit is completed or when the final moderation is done. Continue. Now, in terms of the area, based on last year's assessment, because that one is something that is in the report at DPME, these are the areas that we think still need to be strengthened, because we've got twos in them and we've got ones in them. Under financial management, specifically, it is under expenditure management where we have unauthorized expenditure issues,
and then under supply chain management on acquisition management. That is where we did not get threes and fours. Under human resource systems management, the first item there is management of performance. This is where we're talking about SMS, senior management services performance management system, excluding the HOD, meaning from director up to DPG level only, and it excludes the HOD. We did not get a good score there, and we are hoping to tighten up, because the criteria is very clear on what needs to be done in order to get three. B, still under HR, it is management of diversity. I think we're still getting a 1 in that area. It is still right. And then HR strategy and planning, we specifically on human resource development planning. This is where we plan for training. We still have a 2 there. And then employee relations, we also still have a 2 there on disciplinary cases. We did challenge the GPME on this one. I'm not an expert in the area, but I remember there are different reporting tools that are utilized here when we're dealing with disciplinary cases. And the system that labor relations officials have been given to utilize and what APEX requires are not speaking to one another, because they insist on personal information. So when you don't have a case, there will be nothing on personal. But that does not mean you have not done anything, simply because there's nothing on PESTA. So I don't know whether we'll be able to eventually get it right. The third area where we still have tools is under governance and accountability. The first area there is on ethics, specifically on fraud prevention. The second area is on internal audit, on assessment of internal audit arrangements. And then the last item there is on service delivery improvement. Service delivery improvement mechanisms. I think what we did as a department, last year we had 1 in this area, because we did not have a service charter, we did not have service standards, we only had an SDIT. So because the charter and the standards come first, we could not get a 1. But during this year we were able to put that in place. Now what they are creating here is the monitoring part of SDIT. That's why it is still at number 2. Now, these areas are rated 3. So in these areas, I'm not going to go over, we just need to be smart. But at the moment, we are complying, because according to the criteria, 3 days we are complying with the regulation. We just need to do it in a little smart way so that we get 4. On that note, Chairperson, thank you.
Chair, thanks very much. I don't know if Chair got the previous presentation on this by the DPME, but this placed us out of 41 departments of around the 63% placed us around in the 10th in government. And we've moved up in the 2013-43 places from the previous one. So we might keep progress.
Thank you very much for the presentation, the commission presentation. Yeah, honorable members, that is how our department specifically is being assessed and monitored. And for me, really, when I went through this presentation, I was happy and confident just to say we are seeing progress by our department. And let's say something happening. Once this is in place, this is corrected. Even it tells us that definitely even the ages findings will get a lot of improvement when it comes to it, because administratively we are seeing our department getting to a point where everyone wants to get in. Before I even congratulate you and commend the good work that you are doing, let me hear the SSA, what are the honorable members taking on the presentation that was just given to us. Honourable members, any questions, comments on this input report that you have just received? Let me start from my far end now. Honourable Mguni, Honourable Mbojana, Honourable Mashalela, Honourable Poshoff, Honourable Majege, then Honourable Fashan.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. When I was reading the reports myself on the MPES, I was very much impressed. There was a progress that was made. And also now that you are elaborating on it, I'm here. When we visiting our office in Pretoria, you see, sometimes you see, I look at the offices myself. actually. I don't believe in one thing that I'm told. There's one thing that I did not read. I don't know whether it's there. The service charter written all over offices. When I went through the offices, I wanted to see it. So when I'm getting into the office, to say, what is your service standards? The service norms, you see. And then that will it will be articulated to the clients out there. And then the people responsible, if I was a problem, who should I contact in the office? That will be in process. That's it.
The chairperson must admit the best thing for me to have done is to keep quiet, because if you don't understand something completely. However, but chairperson, I've been missing most meetings, you know. That's my problem. That is my challenge, that some of the things just don't fit into the past. Like this, what do you call this?
Okay.
This monitoring management tool, the department officials managing their own performance. Is that by what? Who is that one? Oh, in the president. Yeah, that's why I wanted to connect the performance agreement that is signed by the minister as an individual. That's what I wanted to connect. How does it connect with this one? Or is it the same thing? Well, those are two different things. The minister signs their own performance agreement with the president and the department as a whole. Please tell me.
What I'm saying, you have a teacher. We are moving to the moving meeting. Most of the time, you talk about number 39, not because.
You know what I'm moving to mean? I'm different. What's in your
boat? In engine, I'm not sure. Where a teacher has to go back to the previous lessons now and again. But that's why you are in education, you are experiencing that. But I love it because you acknowledge that you are not only in the meetings and you have not said on what the portfolio point of basic education is, you know. But you may ask a question to wrap up when you get your response and the travel response. Yeah.
Oh,
you're done.
I'm not done.
Okay.
I'm a little bit sad, you know, in my mind. For instance, she talks about the score there, the red one, which says you have not complied with the prescriptions of the department. My question is, if such a situation arises, who is responsible for rectifying that same situation? Is it the same person or somebody else? That's my question. Do you get it? Chad, do you get it? I'll wait for another bite to come.
Thank you, Jefferson. I've got only one question here. Why do we continue to see poor management and leadership practices in the public service when all these systems and programs are in place, especially the MPAT? Thank you.
Honourable Chair, I just have one question on page 7. Human Resource and Systems Management, Employee Relations, and then the Human Resource Practices and Administration. We are being led to believe that the management of diversity is a problem. I'd just like to know why. And then the presenter said the department doesn't know if they will get this right with regard to the management of disciplinary cases. Why are you finding that so difficult? Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Thank you for this presentation. For me, when I read the document, I saw that at least the stroke is starts from somewhere and not going somewhere. Looking into the content achieved in 2012 and 2025, and now we are hoping to get to 2%, at least the grass is going up instead of going down. I am happy about that. Secondly, I'm happy about the Department of Planning and Monitoring and Evaluation, because I found that department, it was not going to be easy for us to see whether the Department of Education is doing well or not. But I'm concerned about the MSMX, like the senior management system performance. If I remember, it looks as if it is on 1%, 2%. Now, I wish and I hope we can keep focus on that, because if senior management is going to be at 2, then it's not going to be easy for the lower and the middle management to pull up their control. So we expect senior management to be at least 3 and 4. Thank you.
Thank you, Honourable Chair. I will cover 3 questions. I think, first of all, the diversity management. The percentage that is put to have females in the senior management services is 50%, and we lack that. So that is why, and it's very difficult to we put in our efforts to say that that we want females to apply for senior management jobs, but unfortunately I think around about 42 or 43% around that. So that is why that one. The second one around the misconduct issues, Honourable Chair, we have to report on a 6 month basis to the Department the Public Service Commission. I'm sorry, Public Service Commission on these kinds of things. Why we say it is a problem is that one of the monitoring tools is that if somebody creates an offence and it's let find guilt, you must put the name of the person. If the person is dismissed on fraud or whatever the case may be, you must put the name on parcel and say that this person is not employable in government anymore. We don't have that. And that is why we're fighting the DBMED, because they want to see, but look, you have arguments that charge 3 people. But it's for moderate offenses, so it's either a warning letter or something like that. Why is it not on parcel? And that's where the misunderstanding is. We don't put it on parcel because it's a very moderate offense. So that thing needs to be sorted out. So that's one of the criteria that we need to sort it out. The evaluation of SMS members, man, it is not the performance of SMS, it's the evaluation tool that we use to monitor, to measure the performance. DBMED says that our tool is not, we've got a bit of a fight there, but I'm sure we'll sort it out. It's not the performance of the people, it's the measurement of how many gets bonuses and how many doesn't get bonuses. So that's the issue. Thank you very much.
Just to top up the last response, for us to be at level to what they are present or what they are not happy about, they want to see recognition of good performance, not necessarily in monetary terms. So because it's easy to say easy to prove on the issue of where people got performance bonuses, because then it will be there linked to the money that were given to the different officials. I think on the side they want to see, for instance, does an HOD write me a letter to congratulate me for doing well, not necessarily linked to money or something like that. And also vice versa, also what happens to non-performance. Do they see evidence of the HOD writing to managers or, you know,
the issue that, that the AG talked about, but when they, there's underperformance, are there consequences? I think that that's where the challenges that they are raising are lying. Let me start from the top based on the issues raised. In terms of, I think the observation of the Honourable Member there in terms of the service charter, I did mention that for the fact in the 2013 assessment we had a 1 because that thing did not exist. And we managed to put 1 together, but by the time this monitoring tool was implemented and we were attaching documents, those are some of the things that have left the department still at a 2 because they are still not visible for the public. When you get there, you don't see them. So that is the reason why you do not see it corresponds with the 2 that we have. Because if we had been given a 3, then you would be surprised to say, but you got a 3 and I did not see a self charter anyway. So your observation corresponds with the score that we have been given for now. Because the monitoring aspect of, or the implementation part of the charter is not just about developing it. It must go out there and the standards that are set therein. If we say we would have name checks, through official care name checks, you know, that would be an implementation aspect and monitoring aspect of the service charter. The other question on from the Honourable Member here who wanted slightly more information on MPA. I think one specific question was, what is the link between the delivery agreement of the minister and the MPA? They are not directly related because at the moment, in this current 5-year term, the delivery agreements are strictly based on the medium-term strategic framework chapter that each department, you know, contributed towards. There are indicators that are specifically going to be utilized to monitor what each department is doing. And we do that through cabinet memos that are done at the end of every quarter. This is just to make sure that the system that drives every department is running. If you look at finance, HR, strategy, internal audit, risk management, those are the things that when they are in place, they will make sure that everybody else who's looking into the actual education delivery component of the department, if these are working, then those who are working with curricula won't have a problem because service providers will be paid on time, etc., etc. So it is just about checking the operation, Yeah, English is very difficult sometimes. Whether we are operational in terms of administration, it has got nothing to do with it. When you look at the very agreement aspect of the minister, it has to go on the opposite side of the department, the professional side. Are we giving learners books? Are we putting the right principles? Are we having a 2-year pre-grade so that learners are ready for schooling? Are we assessing our learners? It goes straight to curriculum and what education is all about. This is on the administration and corporate side of the department. Now, I will provide extra information to our officer to share with the members, you know, extra information to support what you said because this was summarized, but you might want to go through every indicator and see all the scores 2013, 2014, and even challenge periods area by area. So you can see the greens and the reds across to see whether an area is actually improving or not. Now, but when there's no compliance, I think it is already, for instance, stated, it is implied in the SMS challenge that we put it through in. What happens when under strategic management, which is my KPA, there's underperformance? It means I have not done certain things, not alone, but I am responsible for making sure that I push others to make sure that it is done. So I think the issue was, your question was, when we have not done well, who does what? I think it is still a challenge for us to show the course, you know, what the department does to make sure that we comply after we see results like this. From our point of view, as people who are managing the tool, the only thing we can do is do an improvement plan for everyone and say, please pay attention to the following areas for next year so that we don't, you know, get the same score. I think there was a general question. I thought Mr. Schumann would address that on why is there still poor management and leadership when you've got two such as these. I guess the tools are in place specifically for that reason, so that we can actually, it can be easy for the manager. By just looking at the MPET results, she is able to see we are weak in HR, we are weak in finance, and then they can take, with the DG, they can take, either call the managers responsible for that to try and see what is it that can be done. He's already raised the challenge. We are at 2 because we are printing less than 50% women in SMA positions. Now they have to sit with him as the branch leader. Why are you not appointing women? What are the changes? And then they might find a solution. I think Mr. Suman has already responded to other questions. Thank you. Honorable Chair.
Honorable Chair.
Yes. Thank you very much. I think I understand it better now. Sometimes it helps to portray one's ignorance because you get more information. Thank you very much. I got more information. Just one follow-up. I just want to link it with the five factors that were mentioned by the Office of the Auditor General. One of them is discipline, where he said that this comprises of where people do what they're supposed to do, what they're employed to do. Now, taking this whole assessment, I'm trying to link it with what's happening on the lower levels, the school level, where we've got all this self-assessment, which is a disaster. It's not working. That's why things are like that at that level. Now, taking it to that upper level, we've got the self-assessment, we've got the directors, two directors who are employed to see to the things are happening. We've got these people are assessing them, self-assessment. Generally, if I were to evaluate the whole department, at what level do you think it would be? Level 1, level 2, level 3? Just an honest assessment. Yes.
Before you are honest, I think Honorable Mbolanet has evaluated you already. Can we give us our very honest assessment? What level is it? Okay, so I'm Honorable Mbolanet.
Thank you, Chair. I want to check whether this dispensation captures the provinces or is just based at your level. And then there is somewhere on slide 7, on point number 2, where you say that management of performance is done for SMS performance management system, including HODs. Who assesses the HODs? Because we already know that the minister, they do their own. The president, and then what about the HOD if that is to the chair? Thank you.
Thanks, Honorable Chair. The HOD is assessed by a panel mandate described by the Public Service Commission. Normally, the minister of the specific department, the deputy minister of the specific department, another minister, another HOD, and then a person nominated from the sector does the evaluations. So that is what is. I think they're trying to refine it a bit to make it a bit easier because you can understand that to get all these officials together to do the HOD assessment is quite a task. But that is such a prescription from the Public Service Commission, and they do it then.
Honorable Member, the first question that you raised. This is just for Department of Basic Education, but even professional education departments go through their own process. Every department goes through this. When the DPME has completed its final moderation, it will release a report where you are able to see the whole sector. You will see BVE and its 9 provinces. So you are able to compare national departments. You are also able to compare sector. You are able to say the health sector is doing better across the board. You know, in provinces, and so every department goes through this process on it, you know, at an individual level. But what the BCAB has done in the past. They would, for instance, move from sector to sector. For instance, we've got a head contract committee for planning, monitoring and evaluation. They would present this kind of a report for the sector when provinces are present in that meeting, so that we can actually identify in education what is our greatest area of challenge. Are we struggling with strategic planning, or are we struggling with financial management, or we are able to see where our reds are as a group that each department has got its own. How the Department of Education can be compared to KZN Department of Education.
My assessment is, I'm going to base it on 2013. If you look at the 2013 and you look at how we perform, that should give us a three. And looking at the position that he said, I wasn't even aware of that. We are not fully at four, but we are obviously not performing at level one and two. We've got very few ones and twos. So we are somewhere in the three.
I think from just thinking, I thought I had the chairperson saying or yourself saying that there seems to be a correlation between this process and the one of the AG. And if it's not there, how do they link? Because I think it's very useful information that can try to not only address the issues like the AG has highlighted, the issues that are currently, but that will help us even in future to be able to proactively respond to challenges before they even emerge. Thank you.
Thank you, Chairperson. Fortunately, we just spoke about this with my chief director, I think, last week as she was assessing me, and we had to highlight some of the areas where we are concerned. And we did talk about MTEC, you know, just trying to discuss amongst ourselves, what does it mean? Are we seeing the intended objective of MTEC? Are we seeing it being institutionalized in the department? And because we are slowly improving, we can say at one level we are getting there in terms of compliance. Because before MHEC, certain things probably the HOD or the minister would never be aware that some policy is not being adhered to or something is not heading it. But now we cannot hide because these are published. So it will be out there in the open that we are not complying to HR policies, for instance, or financial policies, or we don't do delegations, etc. So I think the matter of actually trying to do that kind of an in-depth analysis on whether it is making an impact in terms of how we relate it with AG processes, we haven't done it consciously like that. And that's why I was saying my own understanding was if it is done in that light, then we would actually improve a lot of the things where we are. We've got findings in terms of financial and even in terms of personal information, because basic compliance issues will be closed just through MTEC. And once you are able to deal with that, it becomes easy because what they want is the same thing that is required here. It has got an issue of payment within 30 days. It is here, it is there. You manage it through MTEC, they won't find it when they come in.
Challenge period. Because for me it says, you said that you knew what 48% but it's still challenging. What does that mean? Does it mean we don't have those supporting documents for them at once to score you well? Why should we always rely on this period? What is it that you can do best next financial year for you not to be scored so low, then you have to challenge for you to get the final score for the projected percentage that we had from 380 to 580%
Thank you, Honourable Chairperson. The challenge period at the moment the challenge period is over because we were given time to sit with the DCMB, have consultation meeting in areas where maybe they've scored you a 2 or 1. And you are not happy based on the kind of documentation that you are having. If we think it complies to the criteria that is set there for each indicator, then you want to understand from their side why they scored you a 2, because you've got this, that. And eventually sometimes it leads to that score changing from 2 to 3 or even from 2 to 4. But the challenge has been
sometimes even from 3 to 1. Yeah, it can go up, it can go down. But that part we have already done and we have submitted. What is remaining is now we are just waiting for that final moderation score. So when it comes, there will be no time for protesting. The protesting is over. We just have to live with what they give us. If it comes back at 48%, it means we have gone down. And the minister will be right to ask what happened from 55 to 48.
Thank you very much, Mr. Shukman and your team. Thank you very much, Mr. Diaz and the whole team from the Agent's office. Honorable members, you were so good. And I think we've benefited a lot from today's presentation, and we are getting an education that at least the department is moving towards performing better or being one of the best departments that we have in the country. So thank you so much. Can you keep up the good work that you are doing? Very soon we'll be having a presentation from the English office with the audit financial statements for 2014-15. So, and also what is in the pipeline, we're going to see a very hectic period again. Still going to be engaging on our APPs, going around the issues of our issues, and yeah, as from now on, as up until then, it will be just like it as a committee, but I know we are going to talk to manage to be about the issues. Thank you very much, honorable members. For the first time after we have reopened, let us attend the meeting at the time to stay and get your lunch before going to the chamber. The meeting is adjourned.